Everybody, I'm Craig.
I'm Heidi.
I'm Sam, and this is Ellie.
And I'm Charlotte. We are the Evans family.
Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent at Essex Centre United Methodist Church.
Thank you, Evans family, for that wonderful and warm welcome, and we welcome you to worship on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season, the season of preparation, making our world ready for the coming of the Christ child in our hearts and in our world. My name is Mitchell Hay, and it is my good pleasure to be the equipping pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Essex, Vermont.
And I'm Barb Lemmel. I coordinate the parish consultants for the New England Conference, and it's my good pleasure to be married to Mitch and part of this faith community. It's good to be with you all this morning.
If you have a worship bulletin with you from the Facebook page or emailed to you, I invite you to join together responsively in the call to worship that is in your bulletin. O come, Emmanuel, God with us.
Come into our brokenness. Come into our joy.
Come into our captivity. Come into our freedom.
Come into our fear. Come into our compassion.
Our souls have had their fill. Have mercy on us, O God.
And come, oh, come, Emmanuel.
If you have the LED wreath that was distributed to folks, we are going to light our fourth Advent candle, the candle of love. So I invite you to gather that. Also, be thinking about what are the things that have gotten in the way of feeling love this season. You might write those in the comment section. We'll read a few that we've thought about. We'll join together in the lighting of this Advent candle. In our homes, we gather round wreaths to pray our lost hopes, broken peace, limited joys, and love that is so hard to find and share in this season of coronavirus. We affirm that our candles mean we claim the power to call this season Advent, when God's light comes into the world and nothing, nothing can overcome it. Last week, we lit the candles of hope, peace, and joy.
And we now light the candle of love, even when many things dim our sparkling of love.
Things like sickness, things like loneliness, racism, environmental destruction, climate change, job loss.
Exhaustion, too many Zoom meetings, trying to keep family together when we're apart.
God's love illuminates hatred and brings on a compassionate heart and brightens the path to the birth of Christ.
Emmanuel, God be with us in the week to come, lighting hope, peace, joy, and love on the wick of our lives and hearts, so that we may shine into our world God's unconditional promise to all. Amen.
Amen. This morning, we do not have a young people's message from the Sturgeon family, but we do have an update on our ongoing Heifer Project collection. Many of you got a Fill the Ark calendar with ideas to help us be aware of our blessings here in the developing world, the developed world, and ways that we can share with folks away. And Joanne's going to share us a little bit about how we're doing on that project.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the last week of Advent. This is our last week of fundraising for the Heifer Project. at the moment, our total is $1,005. So thank you for everyone who's sent in their donations already this week. If you're considering donating, please make sure you mail your check or get your payment to the church. We're hoping to have everything mailed by December 24th. So we will be able to send out checks by the end of the year. At the moment, we have raised enough money that we could buy stoves for a village. We can buy a mating pair of cattle. We can get a milk menagerie, or we could do our own mix of animals to send over to help those who need it and in their villages. If you are interested in sending having feedback in what we choose to send, if you could please contact me. My phone number and email are both in the church directory. And if you don't have access to that, please contact Mitch and he will get you my information. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thanks, Joanne.
And what a wonderful amount of things mm-hmm. that can be sent to folks. That's great. So we invite you now to come to our opening to God time. And if you're like me, this is a weird Christmas. The things that usually we're really busy at, we're not busy at, and yet somehow figuring out how to do the things we can do is really exhausting. Mm. And so in this morning, I invite you to bring your heart in whatever state it is, lonely, too full, tired, anticipatory, whatever you bring to this service today. Come and just breathe in for a moment. And breathe out. And breathe in God's Spirit. And breathe out whatever you need to release this morning. And then breathe in one more time, God's Spirit. And breathe out to settle yourself here, now. And hear these words from Jan Richardson, a wonderful artist and liturgist who knows something about grief from her own life. So hear these words. If in this life I cannot do away with grief, then I pray that I will at least enter into it with a heart open to this comfort, this solace that is one of the greatest treasures God offers us in the landscape of this season. This comfort is no mere pablum, no saccharine wish. And though it is deeply personal, it is not merely that. Solace does not leave us to our own solitude. True comfort opens our broken heart toward the broken heart of the world. And in that opening illuminates a doorway, a threshold, a connection. It reveals to us a place where, in the company of heaven and earth, we can begin anew, bearing forth the solace we have found. May this be so for us. Mm. Amen.
Our theme this week is that of comfort. These are the words of God in the King James. Oh, comfort my people, the words of God to a people in exile. It was, I hope, comforting in 550 or so BC. And I hope they are words of comfort that come to us in the year 2020. Hear these words from Isaiah chapter 40. Console my people, give them comfort, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem's heart and tell it that its time of service is ended, that its iniquity is atoned for, that it has received from Yahweh's hand double punishment for all its sins. A voice commands, "Cry out." And Isaiah says, "I answer, what shall I say? All flesh is grass, and its beauty is like the wild flowers. The grass withers, and the flower wilts when the breath of Yahweh blows on them. How the people are like grass. Grass withers and flowers wilt, but the promise of our God will stand forever. Go up on a high mountain, you who bring good news to Zion. Shout with a loud voice, you who bring good news to Jerusalem. Shout without fear and say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Yahweh, O sovereign one, you come with power and rule with a strong arm. You bring your reward with you, and your reparation comes before you. Like a shepherd, you feed your flock, gathering the lambs and holding them close and leading mother ewes with gentleness." Our second reading, also from the prophet Isaiah, is going to be read by Mary Kate Gardner, who is an old friend of ours from the Adirondacks. How many years?
A lot. Many.
And she is wise and patient and wonderful, and she will be reading from Plattsburgh these words from Isaiah to the people in Babylon.
The spirit of the exalted Yahweh is upon me, for Yahweh has anointed me. God has sent me to bring good news to those who are poor, to heal broken hearts, to proclaim release to those held captive and liberation to those in prison, to announce a year of favor from Yahweh and the day of God's vindication, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to give them a wreath of flowers instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of tears, a cloak of praise instead of despair. They will be known as trees of integrity, planted by Yahweh to dispel God's glory. I will joyfully exult in Yahweh, who is the joy of my soul. My God clothed me with a robe of deliverance and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, the way a bridegroom puts on a turban and a bride bedecks herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots and a garden brings its seeds to blossom, so exalted Yahweh makes justice sprout and praise springs up before all nations.
Thank you, Kate. That was beautiful. We got news that we do have a young people's message, and Jeremy has got that all spooled up and ready to share with you.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So today, I wanted to talk about the stuff that I had Dad pick up for me because it is really cool. Does anyone know what this is?
Shaving cream.
So what I like about shaving cream is it's so smooth and foamy. Let me show you. Which cup should I use? This one will probably fit it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's about, this one I don't think will really fit, but I think this
it
one.
It might.
I think, okay. All right, so I want to show you. All right. So what are some cool things you know about shaving cream? What are some cool things about shaving cream? I like how it's so, like, cool.
Out
it expands when it comes out
because it's
thank goodness I thought Yes. So in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 through 31, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Okay. So, you've heard that before, yeah. So, love is kind of like shaving cream. If we keep it inside, it stays kind of small and bottled up. But if we let it flow out of us, it expands and we show it to others and it spreads to the next person. And that person let it grow and it expands to the next person.
And it just keeps going out in the world.
And it just keeps going out in the world like a ripple in a river. Like when you drop a rock in. That isn't a book. It needs to be set free. So God makes sure this will eventually run out, although there's a lot left in there. But God makes sure that we never run out of love. He's kind of like a well deep inside us that just keeps filling us up with love so that we can spread it to others.
It's an everlasting well.
It's an everlasting well. Bottomless.
I think it's stretching.
I know, it's even more stretching. So when we let it outside of us, it stretches and grows. And we can help others, and that'll help others. So this week, we're still waiting for Jesus to come. And where we're waiting for him to come, we're going to show our love to others so that it can expand and grow. Can we say a prayer? Dear God, thank you for showing us how much you love us by sending us your Son. We are anxiously awaiting for him to come. Help us to show that same kind of love to others so that that love can expand and grow. We know you're a bottomless well of love and we'll never run out. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for these wonderful kids' messages. They're just great. They're actually, I think that's probably what people enjoy more than anything else, but it's good to have it in here. So this week when we read this piece from Isaiah, it's comfort ye, oh comfort ye, my people. I was listening to Handel's Messiah yesterday, as I usually do at some point before Christmas, and that's the first aria, the first sung piece in the Messiah is comfort ye, my people. And this year my heart just went, yeah, we need that. We need comfort. We need to know that our warfare is ended or will be ending. Literal warfare and figurative warfare. We need to know that the time of our iniquity is past or passing. So much is different this year with COVID. On top of all of the things that we need comforting about, just from the pandemic, from our culture, all of these last 9-10 months that we've been so aware of, on top of that, this is Christmas season, and it doesn't look a lot like what it used to look like. A lot of our Christmas traditions can't happen because they're mostly about us getting together. And we can't get together. And so it feels to me like there's a whole nother layer of grief, of disappointment, of resolving to do the best we can with what we have and also being sad for what we don't have. And so we're going to give you a couple of examples later in this message about things that we are going to be missing, especially on Christmas Eve. But there, if there are things that are individual to you, we invite you to put that in the comment section on the Facebook page. What is it that you'll miss this Christmas Eve? Because we're just not able to do it the way we've done it forever, right?
It's important for us to recognize the things that we're going to miss and mourn them, but we have to name them first to know what to mourn. But if this sounds familiar, it's because it's a very similar situation that the Hebrew people were dealing with 2,500 years ago. When God's people were in exile in Babylon, they'd been ripped away from Jerusalem. They'd been ripped away from their temple. It had all been destroyed by Babylon. They were taken away into exile. And they, everything they thought they knew about their faith had been ripped away. Everything that they thought was how they did their Jewish faith was now ashes. And we hear echoes of it from an incredible Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. The constant question was, how do we do this God's people thing when we're in exile? How do we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
And that was really hard to figure out because so much of their faith was tied up in the place of Jerusalem, right, and in the building of the temple. And that had been destroyed.
Right. The how of being the Jewish people was based out of the temple.
Right.
And they did being God's people by sacrificing at the temple, with the priests doing their priestly thing in the holy places and in the Holy of Holies. And that was all gone. Right. The things that they identified with being a faithful people were now ashes.
And again, I feel like that's somewhat where we are, because for us, Christmas Eve, that's kind of our Holy of Holies. It's not the only holy day in the Christian year by any means. And yet it's just a really holy place. And so to not be able to do it the way that so often for me, I know it's Christmas because of things that I do on Christmas Eve gathered together with the faith community. Mm-hmm. And that Holy of Holies isn't going to be possible. Right. This year.
Christmas is not the biggest holiday of the Christian year. That is far and away Easter. But yeah, Christmas is the place where we have the most family traditions that we really ascribe value to and make it a holy day, holiday for us. Mm-hmm. But again, we have lessons we can learn from these ancient words from the prophet Isaiah to a people in exile back then. Comfort, oh, comfort ye my people, God says to Isaiah in our translation today. Console my people, give them comfort, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem's heart and tell it that its time of service is ended, that its iniquity is atoned for. God tells Isaiah to let the folks know that God's promise of life and love and justice and presence with the people is forever, even in exile, and the promise that God will lead them home, away from exile, back to Judah, back to Jerusalem, back to Zion, will lead them like a shepherd, will lead them with gentleness.
And so this is what we think the Jewish folks did in Babylon. They heard those words from Isaiah and from other prophets. And in the midst of their grief, in the midst of their loss, somehow they sat down, I'm sure they gathered, and they remembered who and whose they were. Mm. They remembered that even in this weird place, even without the temple, even without everything they thought was holy, they still belonged to God. They were still God's chosen people. And God still called them to do the things God had always called them to do justice, to care for the poor, to care for the disenfranchised, to care for the widow and the orphan. There are all kinds of places where God says, that's the most important thing. The traditions, the sacrifices, that's all good, but it's how you live that's the most important part. So they remembered that, who they were.
And they remembered the why they were. That hadn't changed either. God had anointed them, and Isaiah lifts this up right here. Isaiah's not only talking about himself, he's talking about the whole people. God has anointed them to bring good news to those who are poor, to heal broken hearts, to proclaim release to those held captive and liberation to those in prison, to comfort all who mourn, and to declare God's goodness and liberating love to the world, to be a shining city on the hill, which is hard to do when you're in exile, but to be God's people in the world no matter what. They had a who and they had a why. And that was central.
What they didn't have was the what that they were used to. They were used to worship in the temple. And now they're going to have to do something different. And so what happened to Jewish religious practice when they were in exile was that the synagogue became a central piece of Judaism. It had been around some already, but the shift of what we do in worship went from joining together in the temple for sacrifices done by the priests in the Holy of Holies and became a weekly gathering together in the synagogue to sing the Psalms together and to learn, to be taught about the Torah, about our scriptures, to learn what it meant to be Jewish in the world. Mm-hmm. The how of what they did changed, even though the who and the why stayed the same. And that was a product of the exile. And that was the Judaism that Jesus grew up in. And it was the Judaism that has continued during the great diaspora, continues to be part of Judaism, came out of that. It shaped Mary, it shaped Jesus. It continues to shape the Jewish faith today.
So our question is, what has this message of Isaiah's from 2,600 years ago got to do with us in the year 2020? Well, after 10 months of suffering through COVID, the people we know who've been sick, the folk we love who have died, the daily exhaustion of isolation, of quarantine, of work and school from home, they've made us yearn deeply for getting back to normal. Every time I talk to folks, like, I want to get back to normal, right. Especially back to the normal traditions that we treasure, because those are the ones that make us feel connected, not only to a faith tradition, but also to our family and our friends. And yeah, as we said before, we can't think of another holiday that holds so many powerful community and family traditions as Christmas does. I mean, the whole house is filled with things that say that here, these are traditions that
make
us connected.
And your house too, I'm sure.
And also yours. But even with vaccinations starting this week and so much hope expressed for 2021 being a better year than 2020,
right.
Christmas can't be normal this year. And in 2020, we can learn a powerful lesson from Isaiah and from the Jewish exiles of 550 BCE.
Because even if we can't do the how, the way that we're used to, the way that we love, the way that works for us, the way that connects us to God and to each other, mm-hmm. our who and our why are still the same. We're still God's people. We're still beloved by the God who loves all of us, who loves all people. We still are the folks who seek to live that love out in our lives. We're still the folks who, like the Jewish folk, like the people Isaiah spoke to, are called to preach good news to the poor and release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The who we are and the why we are has not shifted. We continue to be the caretakers of the love of God, the compassion and the grace of God, nurturing it like a gentle shoot into blossom.
So can y'all hear the good news in that? We are children of God. We are children of a God who didn't need a temple in 550 BC to offer people a promise of hope. And we are children of a God who doesn't need a church building in 2020, we love our church building.
Yeah.
But God doesn't need a church building, and we don't need a church building to be children of God in order to be born, to have God born anew in the mangers of our hearts this year. We can do that even without meeting in the building that we love. So who we are and why we are has not changed because of COVID. But the how will be different this year, as it has been all through 2020. It has been for 10 months and will be, we're told, for at least a few more and maybe several more. But as we said in the beginning, it is spiritually and emotionally healthy for us to be able to name and mourn those things that we will miss this Christmas.
So what is it for you? What is it that makes Christmas happen for you?
Makes Christmas Christmas?
That moment or series of moments?
There is a point in the worship service on Christmas Eve and it happens at both the early and the late service where we've finished all the liturgy part and folks have circled up around the sanctuary and we have passed the candle lights and they slowly make their way around the circle. Mm-hmm. And after the last light is lit and we get ready to sing Silent Night, there's a moment of silence before the voices start. There's an intake of breath to fill the lungs to be able to start that first silent. And there's just that, it's like the sound of the spirit filling up people's lungs. Wow. And you can see the chests rise and there's a magic moment there that is Christmas has happened now. And then those beautiful words from the carol come out and it is, it's Christmas for me. Yeah, I have to mourn that's not gonna happen this year.
And it's similar to me. It's the light going around the circle, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that makes it Christmas for me is the families with little kids. And I remember doing this when we had little kids. The little kids holding the candles, right? Yeah. And how excited they are to hold the candle and how much everyone else is hoping they don't burn themselves or burn the church down. Here in this congregation, it's Sean Hennessy taking time to take a picture of all of us around the sanctuary with those lights and the glow in everyone's face. And another thing that's for me is singing the carols in parts, and in particular, singing Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming in parts. And some Christmas Eves, I've sort of strategically placed myself near other people I know who sing in parts. Kathy and Roger Dodge come to mind. So that between us, we can make a little choir. And that hymn in particular, just that opens me up. That and In the Bleak Midwinter. Those are the hymns that open me up, I think. And we've also gotten a few comments on the Facebook page. Catherine too says that it's seeing the candlelit faces of beautiful people and the hope and love in singing Silent Night and the long silent pause after that song. That's full of meaning and full of Christmas. And Sandy Sinkowitz says, when family are together and attending the Christmas Eve services together, absolutely. And Heidi Evans says, the calm that's after the Christmas Eve service, heading out into the cold to start Christmas as a family. Mm. And Donna too writes about how important it is to be able to say to people downstairs as we put our coats on at the end of the service, Merry Christmas. We've been doing Advent all these weeks and now it's Christmas. Sharing that together.
I love that transition that Heidi brings up from Christmas as a community of faith and then the transition home to Christmas as family.
Yep.
That's a very special time, a holy time.
And we'll do some community of faith stuff on Christmas Eve, right? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the details of that later in the service, but it's all going to be socially distanced or it's going to be virtual. And it's, I don't have to tell you, it's not the same.
It's not the same, but Christmas is still happening.
Right.
Even though the how is different, even though the traditions that we adore will not be happening, Christmas is still happening. With apologies to Dr. Seuss, COVID can't keep Christmas from coming. It will come just the same. and no, you
it
can't.
Came without candles it and came singing.
and you can't start singing copyrighted music. No. The bots will get us if we do that. Right.
But the Whoville song will now be in your heads all day long. You're welcome.
Christmas this year will not be the same. It will not be what we're used to. It will not be what traditionally has given us meaning. But it will come. Christmas will come. It isn't the building that allows Christ to be born in the world. It is hearts opened and made warm and welcoming for love to be born. That will happen. Christmas will come.
So take time this week to be honest. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God about what you're going to miss on Christmas Eve, about the how that isn't going to be this year. Mm. And God hears you and says, I know. It's hard. It's not going to be the same. I still love you. And I'm still being born. Read the story. I'm good with unexpected situations. Our prayer for you, our prayer for us, is that somehow in these next days, there will be a place in your heart where there will be a birth laid to rest, wrapped with love, in a manger. And we can guarantee you that it will come, we can almost guarantee you that it will come in an unexpected way, no matter how much you prepare, because that's what God does. God comes in an unexpected way. And so in full trust, we say, come, Lord Jesus.
Come.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have a time of prayer in a moment, and we invite you to prepare yourselves for that and to help out with that. Catherine Parker has music and photos. This is the Huron Carol, which I think comes from the Mackinac people,
I think.
Of Canada, a Native Christian community. So listen to this.
And if you have prayer concerns, put them in the Facebook page.
In the comments section on the side.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine, for the music and for your lovely photographs. I invite you to a time of prayer where we can lift up all that we mourn, all that we celebrate. I invite you to breathe and be in the presence of the God who says, comfort. Comfort ye, my people. If Christ is to be born, it will not be in a manger. That was long ago. Now it will be in you. You, yourself. Be Christ. Bear love into this world. Dare to believe that what is holy may be conceived in you, that the eternal word may be made flesh in your flesh. All God intends is that love be embodied, and you, child, you are called to bear this love into the world. With Mary, with Isaiah, with all who have borne God's word, say yes to the divine in you. We lift up prayers, sharing with Catherine, prayers of recovery for Michael and Pete, each who had quadruple bypasses this week. With Narda, prayers for Brooke, facing the unexpected loss of her job and debilitating back pain. For Donna, with Donna, we pray for Kathy, her daughter-in-law's mom, who had a stroke this week, is home now, but has some issues that hopefully PT will help with. Prayers for her and all her family. With Sharon, we pray for her daughter, Caitlin, to feel their love for her and the love of Christ this Christmas. With Pam, she prays, I'll miss the stillness of Christmas Eve and the hubbub of Christmas Day with family and friends. And we'll miss our dad who died on December 19th, 2011. We remember him with love and gratitude. We lift up prayers of peace for Dana's family as they mourn the unexpected passing of Dana's grandma, Rebecca Thomas. We pray with Sandy for her family. She misses her family in Vermont so very much. We pray with Sherry Marcoux, prayers for the family of Virginia Sweetser on her passing. And with Narda, prayers for Ireland Alexander, my sister's granddaughter, who was in a car accident and sustained a serious head injury.
And I lift prayers for my colleague, Barbara, who's recovering from a second hip replacement. And also prayers for my friend, Beth, who slipped on ice yesterday and broke her wrist. And prayers for all those who are lonely, who are lost, who are hungry this week.
We lift up all these prayers, ready to be filled with Christ's presence, ready to be giving birth to love embodied. And we lift them up, remembering the prayer an adult Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We have some announcements for you all around this Christmas week. First thing to share is that there will not be an online Vespers service tonight because there's a lot of other services that we're getting prepared for and want you to be a part of. So no online Vespers service tonight at 5, but tomorrow night, instead of our regular Bible study, there will be a longest night worship service. These services are also sometimes called Blue Christmas. This is a worship service that a number of United Methodist pastors in the area have put together, and it will be showing it at 7 o'clock on Monday night. The Zoom link is listed here. But after that evening, if you can't make that, you can see the service on YouTube, and that link is listed as well. We will have, God willing, 2 Christmas Eve services. One in person, not
sort of
in the building, but outside the building. We are going to be having our first drive-in worship service, certainly our first drive-in Christmas service. In the parking lot at the church. Jeremy is bringing some of his technological magic to allow us to beam the worship services into your FM radio, and everyone will be in their cars, which will allow everyone to be COVID safe, see folks through the windshields. But the coolest thing is you'll be able to sing at the top of your lungs all your favorite hymns without offending anybody. You can be as out of tune as me, and that's saying something. And you can do that, but still be able to wave and say hi to folk. So please, if you can, this will be fun for the kids. We'll have some things for the kids to do in their cars. So that will be on Thursday at the early service at 4:30 p.m. in the parking lot.
And news will go out about this.
We'll be sending out more newsletters, stuff about that. And then at 7 o'clock will be our online lessons and carols service. This will be a service very, very similar to what we are used to doing on Christmas Eve, but we are doing our best to make it happen online with readers and music. And it will be lovely, if not the same.
So it'll be here on Facebook, and not unlike what we do on Sunday mornings, except there will be more people involved. You'll get to hear a lot more voices than just ours, which will be wonderful.
So do be a part of both of those this week. We only have one birthday this week. Art Bristol, born on December 25th. He's in great company. And no anniversaries. I can't imagine someone wanting to get married on Christmas week.
Do.
So we don't have that. Friends, it was a delight to share this fourth Sunday of Advent with you, to name and mourn the things that we will miss this Christmas, but also to celebrate that in all of it, God is present. The God who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Peace.
Go in peace, y'all.